Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Nerdcast with Adam.
Still the only one to have gone to see any movie in the theaters.
And Tyler.
Does your mom know that you've redecorated down here?
And it's me, Iggy. And no, my mom hasn't visited in a while, actually. Okay. It's kind of sad. Brought a tear to my eye. Thanks for bringing that up. We have redecorated down here. We got some of the geeky gear out, setting it up nice. We can get some prints on the wall here soon and everything. But we're making this a real podcast studio.
I like your Brandon Routh as Superman Slurpee cup.
Thank you. That's on the shelf special
for you. Definitely a keeper. Definitely a keeper.
Well, we're going to dive right in with the artist. I know we talked a little bit about it last week. It comes out this week, or it will be out by the time this goes live. Just watched it before we started. I know Tyler's seen it. Adam's bragging about being the only one who's seen theaters and movies, but he hasn't seen the Best Picture winner.
Yeah. Where are you on that one, Adam?
I haven't seen it. I don't know what to say. I got no excuses for that.
His excuse is he's already seen next year's Best Picture winner in Abraham Lincoln Vampire.
Oh, there you go. Quality excuse.
That's probably true.
Yeah. There you are. So I'm going to say, I believe you mentioned you liked it.
I did.
And then you were kind of hesitant on it. Was it Best Picture of the Year? I'm in the same boat with you. It's up there. It's a solid movie. I really like how well they made it seem like a classic.
It's such a well-made movie, and it's just good. Like, I mean, there's nothing you can say about it that's bad, I think. But there was a lot of good competition. And as they've expanded, there can be a possible of 10 candidates now, which I like, because there's movies that are getting in now that wouldn't have gone in before for the prestige. Obviously, they're not going to. The movies that wouldn't have won 10, I mean, when there was only 5, are still not going to win now that there's 10. I think it's just to placate people to see, like, the Dark Knights and that kind of stuff.
Like an extra sticker on their slipcover, too.
Exactly. Right. You can say you're
Academy
Award nominee. But it's one of those things where I think it benefited, number one, from hype and novelty. It was a big, popular, critically acclaimed silent film when no one does that anymore. And its release date, like, people don't realize how much release date can play into how well you do. I mean, there's not a lot of Best Picture Oscar winners that came out in January, you know?
No, they're usually like just before the holidays.
You know, November, December are typically your winners. And the people who vote for the Academy Award, I think we'd like to all believe that they watch every movie and have no prejudices and stuff
but
like that.
But obviously, they're 90. They forget what came out.
If you follow it at all, you realize that the Academy of Motion Pictures does, you know, have their favorites, and there's certain, I mean, it's, there's a reason that, okay, first of all, we all just wish we could be a little bit like George.
No, Clooney. I like George Clooney, yeah, but he is an Academy Awards.
There is a reason that Oscar bait is a term and that people know what they're doing when they try to make movies for Oscars. I don't want to get off on a Academy Award thing, but yeah, I mean, but I don't want to like detract from it because it was really good.
It was good. I can think when I look at the field of just the nominees, the 9 nominees, I would say I would probably put Hugo and The Descendants in front of it. But other than that, none of the other ones.
I can make a case for The Descendants ahead of it. I don't think I can for Hugo. I loved Hugo. I really enjoyed it. But it was, and I love Scorsese, obviously, and it did it really well. But it was too on the nose with the homage, the love letter to that he was very clear about and very blatant about, like, what he was doing with that film. And I don't know. And the problem with that one is I don't even know if I dislike it. I mean, I shouldn't say I dislike it. I love Hugo. It was very good. I don't think my quibbles with it have anything to do with the movie itself, or just that I know how good Martin Scorsese can be, and Hugo's not that.
It wasn't.
It's there. Not. It's not Mean Streets. It's not Goodfellas. It's not, you know, it's just not one of those movies.
That's true.
Good directors, like good students in school. If you go out there and you knock out, you know, a bunch of really good work, and then all of a sudden you turn in something that's
like an A-minus,
right? You turn in something that's still pretty good. You're like, well, you could have done a lot better. Why didn't you do that? And you're like, I think he gets held up to that a lot.
And it's still awesome. Like, there's a million directors out there who could wish that their best work ever could be Hugo. But we have 20, 30 good years of Scorsese knocking out of the park.
Oh, easily. Yeah. And
he's also, you expect to see a very specific type of movie from him. At least his best work has been in that, very much in that genre, The Departed and, like I said, Mean Streets and Goodfellas and Casino, that kind of stuff. Hugo, a kid's movie about a kid living in a Parisian train station isn't exactly
I was really shocked with the child acting in it. I think was what won me over. I wasn't expecting, I didn't see it till it came out on Blu-ray, and by then the hype was all there already. So I was kind of feeling like it was overhyped. So I think that may be why I saw it from a different angle. And
I think that's the artist too. I think a lot of them were, I think of all the ones that I think could have won and probably had the chops to win, the one that didn't get hyped enough, which is surprising, was The Descendants. And it was a George Clooney movie.
Like,
where were people at on that one? Because I've since watched it. I didn't get to see it in theaters, and I got it on Blu-ray the day it came out because I'd heard good things about it. And I've since watched it probably 4 or 5 times. Like, it's that good.
Really good.
Well, you watched it with me, Adam. And then I put a review up, pretty high scores on it. I was really impressed. Another one, though, there was a couple that didn't even make the Field of Nine. Which I was expecting. With how many good movies there were last year, how many good dramas, I was expecting them to fill out the 10. There was a couple that didn't make it in there that I thought would, and I know Ides of March, I was really shocked at that. I was actually really pleased.
Ides of March was, like, if I were to take all the movies that I watched that came out last year and rank them, I honestly think Ides of March might be my favorite. But I love those.
It
I love
was
that
amazing,
political
though.
Thriller. I love right. that. I like that type of movie. I like that type of show. Like, yeah. I wonder
how much hype it would have got if it came out this year with in an election year and everything year and like, that. Like that. I mean, you really? Put that movie out this year instead of last year.
And it had, you go down the list, you can just go, I mean, you throw out Gosling, Clooney, Philip Seymour Hoffman, and Paul Giamatti, and you've only touched like half the cast.
Yeah. Oh no, it was a solid cast, and I was really
Marissa Tomei.
There you go.
I'm still convinced.
And she was just a short role too.
Has gotten hotter as she's gotten older. Like, yes. Listen, she was attractive in My Cousin Vinny, but like, it just has gotten better since then. What's the one with Mel Gibson that she's in where he What Women Want, or she did that stint on Rescue Me with Dennis Leary.
I'm going to go with you on that one. The Wrestler too. Don't forget that.
She has aged exceptionally well.
Exceptionally well. Well, the artist out now, the review live, once this podcast goes live, score will be up there in the ballpark of those other movies we're talking about. Which I didn't cover Hugo, but I did cover Ides of March and The Descendants and everything. We'll link those.
You were talking about the child. Well, I do want to throw one more thing out, the child acting. It's sad, but one of the things that excited me most about Hugo wasn't so much how good the movie was or how good people were in it. It was how good how do you say his first name? Asa Butterfield, the main guy, the kid who plays Hugo, is the kid who is going to play Ender Wiggin.
Okay.
That got me kind of excited.
The grin on your face right now, if only people could see it.
Everyone knows Ender's Game is currently in almost getting ready to. Have they started filming yet?
I don't know.
It's actually in pre-production. But the main character in Hugo, if you haven't seen it, if you're a huge Ender's Game fan, he is going to play Ender.
Yeah, and so that's, like you said, with
Harrison
his acting,
Ford's
going
to play
pretty good.
Carl Graf. Pretty bummed about
Harrison Ford's like, well, that's a whole another podcast needed for the greatest characters in cinema history are like almost all Harrison Ford.
I was worried you were going to go typical indie Iggy style and crap on something.
Yeah, he's overrated.
Yeah. I am.
Oh, that Harrison Ford guy. I don't know what you guys say.
I am a pessimist, but
it's like you purposely identify awesome things
and Blade
Runner out of spite.
I mean, as we talk over each other there, Han Solo, Blade Runner, Indiana Jones. He was the president of the United States, even in a terrible movie.
Get off my
but he still delivered a performance. So I know something big you did want to talk on moving past the artist and those previous nominees was this last weekend. Brave took it, which we talked about last week, was pretty predictable. But you made note, Tyler. Very underwhelming weekend.
I honestly, I'm not going to go so far as to say it was like a failure, but I got to say, I feel like it's almost, it took the number one spot with like 66.7, 66, something like that, 66.7, 66.3, but in a ton of theaters. That's only half a million more than what Cars 2 took in, which was by far the most critically panned movie that Pixar's ever made. And this one has gotten really good reviews. Not, I don't think probably up to typical Pixar level. Like, it's not getting reviews that are in the, Toy Story or the Up or whatever category, but it's getting good reviews. And it was also kind of significant culturally for them. I mean, it's their first Pixar film through the main character is female. They've really marketed it well. I was a little shocked. And I mean, obviously movie attendances, with the exception of Avengers, have been way down this year. You look at, it's number one at 66.7, number two is Madagascar. That's already been out for a week at what, like 20?
That's maybe week three, isn't it?
Two weeks. Yeah, it's been out for a couple weeks.
It's been out for a couple weeks, and it's number two at 19. It beats out Abraham Lincoln, which, I mean, not super. The one I was disappointed in that I'm going to go see this weekend, right? I've heard good things. I really want to see Seeking a Friend for the End of the World.
Yeah.
But anyway, the gist of it is, I'm not going to go so far to say it, you know, it's like a flop or anything. I mean, it made $60-some million in its first weekend. But I really think if you're Disney or Pixar, you were expecting a lot better.
Oh yeah. Well, not pulling the numbers that some of the big ones are. And I think it's clear, not even critically, but Cars 2 across the board is considered by most of the world to be Pixar's weakest. And like you said, the numbers compare there. We're also, when we're looking at the top charts on Box Office Mojo, shocked. I mean, in a positive way, shocked. Moonrise Kingdom, still very limited release, pulling in some pretty big numbers there.
How many theaters is that now?
It says $395 so according to Box Office
Mojo. It jumped up about, because it was still only in like a couple hundred, like maybe 100 theaters as of a week ago. So it's finally starting to widen its release. I still haven't been able to find it in a theater
anywhere near
outside of maybe 2.5 hours away. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm a huge Wes Anderson fan. I like all of his movies. Even Steve Zissou may be my favorite by Thorotic, and I know most people like that. If you're a Wes Anderson fan, you hate that one.
I don't know why.
I love that movie. I love Life Aquatic.
I have not been disappointed with the movie of his. And honestly, my thoughts on the weakest one is Bottle Rocket, which is still a good movie,
but it was his first one.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And then from there, you immediately jumped to Rushmore, like, which was gold.
Right. Amazing. Unbelievable. And honestly, Bottle Rocket, obviously, I think is probably his weakest one, but...
it's still not a bad
movie. My least favorite of all of them is probably Darjeeling Limited, and I still love that movie.
No.
You know?
You watch what you say around my wife. That's right, her favorite.
I mean, that's a really favorite.
That's a tough one to be at the bottom.
Life Aquatic is still numero uno for me. I don't know. And that's probably most people's least favorite. Like, it was the least well-reviewed.
Yeah, just I know. I think it took in the least, too. I don't know, Moonrise Kingdom might beat it, but was it Royal Tenenbaums currently is his biggest
hit,
box office hit.
Yeah. And that came out at a time when everyone in it was huge. A star and no one really knew who he was. They didn't know they didn't realize they were walking in to see Bill Murray and Ben Stiller and these guys in this kind of off-kilter indie comedy, thing. And now people know what to expect from him, and it's not a lot of people's cup of tea, and I get that. How well did Fantastic Mr. Fox do?
It was pretty good, but I think because by then people realized
what they were
who he was. Yeah, right. I found that movie's fantastic, and we watch that probably on a monthly basis here because it's great for the kid as well. And you sit here and talk about tops to bottoms. I could really quickly say the weakest of them, in my opinion, is Bottle Rocket. But to sit here and try to rank the rest of them, it would take me a few weeks.
Yeah.
It would take me a few weeks.
It would be interchangeable just depending on how you felt that day.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
what mood am I in today? Okay, well, then I'm going to watch Fantastic Mr. Fox, and it's going to be my favorite of his movies. And then tomorrow it could be Royal Tenenbaums, and the day after it could be The Darjeeling Unlimited, and then the day after it could be,
I think we should
any of those others.
I know it opened last week, but I don't think we never talked about it on the cast. Did we ever bring up Safety Not Guaranteed?
No.
Because I really want to see that.
I didn't even realize that came out last week.
Yeah. Or 2 weeks ago.
Was it two weeks ago? I think it might have been
a couple weeks. Really good people in it, and it just looks...
I like the premise of it. It looks pretty good, and it looks like it's going to be just a good kind of lighthearted, feel-good movie as well.
Yeah.
With some of that... I guess picking on the Wes Anderson style.
I mean, it's obviously very indie-esque. It's in maybe 100, 200 theaters. It didn't pull in. It hasn't even made $500,000 yet, but I really, really want to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was that's a good looking one. Let's see. Here, we got it. We got the numbers pulled up 3 weeks, so about 2 weeks ago as well. But yeah, not a few weeks. Overall, though, pretty underwhelming performance. And it's funny how we talk about numbers totaled are down, but we're still seeing the certain movies break these records. Hunger Games broke the pre-sale record, which I wouldn't be shocked. I haven't heard anything about it yet, but if The Dark Knight Rises ends up breaking that record,
right.
The Avengers were, probably today or tomorrow.
Pretty much every record you can break short of overall gross.
And
especially fastest too. Like the fact that its drop offs for its first couple weeks were so minuscule was the shocking thing about it. It's not gonna stay high, like someone like Titanic was, you know, numero uno for part of the year. But
yeah, it's still, I mean, we're probably a day or two away from 600 million.
And yeah, and I think you got to worry about Brave a little bit. Obviously, the audiences are a little bit different. But it got in a little, it got in after a good 2 weeks after Madagascar 3. Mm-hmm. So like that had worn off a little bit. But if it doesn't, you know, pound it out at least next week, I mean, it's going to start going up against your big summer, your Spider-Mans and your Dark Knights and stuff. Now, obviously, a Dark Knight's not in the same category as it, but I feel like it definitely competes against Spider-Man.
Oh, well, I think the Dark Knight, whether it be the same category or not, it's still going to swallow.
Well, it's going to swallow everything. Yeah, right. But there's that G-rated, PG-rated kids movie area that Spider-Man can get that Dark Knight can't.
Yes. Yeah. So I think, big one. And then maybe, I don't know, maybe people are holding out for this fall with Finding Nemo 3D. You know, I don't know. People might be holding out their single Pixar ticket. The other big thing too is I was talking about with some friends this weekend. Biggest thing I noticed was the past few years we've taken our son to a Pixar movie. Mm-hmm. And I realized it's because they've re-released the movies, certain catalog titles, and they put them out in Blu-ray for the first time. And because they're down to just Finding Nemo and they're holding that for the 3D release, there was nothing there with movie cash kind of push people in the theater. And I wonder if that really affects like how much the movie cash.
I don't know how much that is. I've always, and I understand that that makes something special. And I understand that their sales for those first couple weeks are huge, but Pixar isn't as big of a, what's the word I want to say, as big of a contributor to it as Disney at large. But I've always questioned the whole mentality of the Disney vault. You know, like you can only buy their movies at certain times on every leap year between
the solid marketing of, though.
It's very solid marketing, but at the same time, I just want to go pick up Cinderella on DVD. Why can't I do that?
Right. And you can. You just got to do it when they say you can do it. And I mean, the thing is it's...
Does it make them more money that way? Like, do they make more money selling a bunch of them in a very short period of time than they do just selling it all the time every day?
I bet that they do.
And granted, every time a new Disney, like, Diamond Edition gets released from the vault and put on Blu-ray and DVD, you never have the option to just buy the Blu-ray, the DVD. You got to buy the Blu-ray, the DVD, and the ultraviolet digital copy. And it's always priced twice as much as a normal movie. Right. You're going to pay $30 for it, I guess, but you
pay for it because you don't know how long it's going to be there. I mean, Laura, my wife's a psychology major, and you know, that's really, really what they're playing on is they create the need by only letting it be out there for a little bit. This is how long you got. You got to get it while you can. And I think that probably more than the movie cash, just name recognition, with nothing else Disney related going on right now, probably ended up hurting.
Yeah,
that's true. The Disney name's just not. Yeah, I mean, it's always big, but it feels like they've concentrated more efforts on pushing the Marvel name than the Disney name recently. Mm-hmm. So, well, moving on to this week, we do have some big releases. I know everybody is talking about that cute character coming out in that new movie. But we'll get to Magic Mike later. I want to talk about Ted first.
I'm excited. I'm going to go see it. I like everyone who's in it.
Are you going to go see it?
Yeah. No, I actually, we were talking about it at work the other day. I think a bunch of us are going to get together and go see it. Because there's a people who typically don't like movies that are good who really want to see this one as well. And I think like this one crosses all borders. And as much as I can be very hot or cold on
Family Guy,
Seth MacFarlane, as you can be very hot and cold on his Family Guy, has not really done it for me in 4 or 5 years. But a lot of the stuff he does, I love. And a lot of stuff he does, I'm kind of like, eh, but this looks good. I'm going to go see it.
I'm all for it. Give me a crazy Mark Wahlberg.
I love it.
I think that's good. I think he's really going to pull that.
The trailer, specifically the red band trailer, was good. If only for the sequence where he's rattling off
Is it one of those ones
like something Lynn? Grady Lynn. Grady Lynn.
he's laying on the accent thick. He's getting a little off the walls language there and everything like that. So Wahlberg definitely looks like he'll.
And who needs an excuse to look at Mila Kunis?
There you go. Well, yeah. As much as you think that McFarlane voicing Ted is going to be, I really think, like we're saying, Wahlberg is going to be the one who probably pushes it through and gets the laughs.
Well, I don't have any problems with McFarlane is an amazing
voice actor.
Like he does some really good. his, I mean, he's very good at it. I just like a lot of the writing and some of his stuff has never been.
Right. It's hit or miss. And it's one of those things that I'll watch Family Guy, but like you said, it just doesn't always do it for me. And then his other shows, with the Cleveland Show, mm-hmm. nothing. And American Dad, all right, but it's not
American Dad. I feel like started okay and has kind of just become a parody of itself now.
Probably
which was one bound to happen when that was the premise of the show at the period of time that it came, that it premiered. Like that was a good idea. I don't think it, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. So
he still makes Fox an obscene amount of money, so I don't think they're going anywhere anytime soon.
So the other one, big one on list, I said we'll cover Magic Mike, Matthew McConaughey, Channing Tatum. I just tried to pull up the name here for him, but the gentleman from True Blood, Joe, we tried to say it a couple weeks ago, but the big werewolf dude.
Honestly, here's the thing. We'll probably eventually end up seeing it just because I know a lot of people who want to see it. I'm not going to say anything. I mean, obviously it's a movie about male strippers, but let's be honest, with a few exceptions, he's had highs and lows, but how many bad movies has Steven Soderbergh made?
I didn't even realize that was him behind it, to be
honest.
That's
going to be tough. Bad?
He's made some that weren't great.
Right.
Let's be honest. Great, well, I don't think he's ever made any bad ones.
I never saw, he just, which one was it?
I didn't hear great things about Haywire. Yeah, it looked interesting. And he's made a lot of ridiculous, but I love The Informant.
Oh, the
girlfriend experience was weird. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, love them or hate them, all the Ocean's movies are exactly what they are.
And Che has been sitting on my shelf for a while. I haven't gotten around to it, but I've heard
his remake. His remake of Solaris was, I thought, good.
Yeah.
Aaron Brockovich was good. Mm-hmm.
Out of Sight was surprising.
And I love Sex, Lies, and Videotape. Now that was his first one. That's mm-hmm. that's a weird out there indie one. I loved
it. It was a good movie. No. And Grey's Anatomy, which recently I want to say was it either coming up in the next couple weeks or just past couple weeks, hit the Criterion Collection.
Oh, really?
Release. Yep. Blu-ray and DVD. So the great thing about it is once they put in one movie from a director, mm-hmm. you're usually going to see some more to follow. So, right. So you might
see a few of these. You say Sex Lies probably coming up.
I would say that. I would say when you look at Criterion worthy, well, Che is already out too. I didn't think about that. Right. But I would say The Informant is, because it's a different type movie, would probably be worthy of the collection.
So I didn't
Traffic's out. Yeah, I guess when I'm looking at this, there's a few of us.
I didn't read any reviews on it, but has Traffic not been in the Criterion yet? I feel like it has.
Yeah, it has. That's what I was saying. There's a few that I missed there. Che, Traffic.
But the only one recently, and I wanted to say, like, it was intriguing. It seemed like one of those, let's try and make it, you know, a chick Jason Bourne or whatever, but for the Haywire.
Oh, Haywire.
I don't know anyone who saw it. I don't remember reading reviews for it, but it had good people in it. Like, what's his name? I think Ewan McGregor was in it.
Oh, Ewan McGregor, Antonio Banderas.
There was a lot
Channing
of people.
Channing Tatum made an appearance.
Channing Tatum was in it. I don't know anyone, but I can't tell you one person who's seen it.
Yeah, me either.
Was, I don't know how wide the release. It didn't
Bill
make
Paxton.
Much money. Really? Bill Paxton's in it?
Played her dad. Yeah.
Nice. Wow.
There was a,
yeah, but what movie is Bill Paxton not in? Like,
Bill Paxton holds a
totally
very.
Just did this on purpose, by the way.
Bill Paxton. Yeah. Bill Paxton holds a very prestigious honor in moviedom, though. He is the only person to have been killed by a Terminator, an Alien, and a Predator.
Yep. The big three.
That's pretty awesome. That's something that he should go down in history books for.
For those of you not in the
were
know.
Were they all done by, did James Cameron kill him in all of those movies? At least two of them he did.
It was Predator. No, it was the second Predator. It was the.
Because Cameron did Aliens and.
He did the second Aliens. And he was in the first. Was it Cameron? All three of them?
I can't remember who did the second Predator, but he definitely two out of the three. So
for those of you not in the know, the light female voice is Erin, and she is going to be, she's going to be our fact. How would you say this? Our fact checker, fact finder. There you go. And so she's pulling
she's
it up right now.
She's over in the producer's booth. No, yeah. Also known as the couch.
Whether this is in fact the Cameron trio, we call it that.
He's killed.
Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton. And we're trying to see if James Cameron is responsible for Predator 2.
There's no way.
I feel like no.
It's so bad.
When you say that out loud, I
now
feel
when
like
you say
it
that
can't
loud,
possibly
can't
be true.
Danny Glover. And,
just. We want to make sure, though. We want to make sure. So, well, back to this week.
Stephen Hopkins.
There we go. So,
not James Cameron.
Debunked. It almost made it that much more special. But it's still, I mean,
I feel like,
still
yeah,
pretty
I feel like we would have known that if that was true. I mean, it was Cameron and Rem in both of those.
So back to this week. Magic Mike, Soderbergh. I mean, yeah, I think it's one of those ones you'll end up seeing. And honestly, as
well. The thing is people, everyone's focusing on shirtless Channing Tatum and shirtless Matthew McConaughey, but you look down the rest of the cast, some very respectable names on there.
Yeah, that and as weird as it is to say this out loud, the Matthew McConaughey chick flicks are never like just throw it out the window. Yes, terrible.
They well, they're not most of the time. They're okay, but there's two that I know that they're very fit. And I have a weakness for good chick flicks. I don't ever like to admit it because for the most part they're crap. But every now and then there's right. a good one. He's got a couple that are terrible. Failure to Launch, even though I love Zooey Deschanel and I want that one to be good, and Bradley Cooper is awesome, it's just but not. I own it's it. Bad.
Just not.
And what's the other one? What's the one with him and
Fool's Rush? Or no, not Fool, Gold Rush, or what is it called? I can't remember.
Fool's
Gold. There you go.
That's bad too.
That one was not as good.
What's the other one with those 10 two? 10 things
I hate about you. Or,
oh, how to lose a guy in 10 days? All wow, those three.
Well, we're gonna not record that last part where I just ran like. Completely went off on the wrong movies there, the wrong listing.
But I'm, actually, listing them off, can you name for me a Matthew McConaughey chick flick that's good? I feel like you made a I feel like you made a claim there that can't be backed up by anything.
I own 2/3 of those, and the only reason I haven't bought the third one is just because I haven't gotten around to it. So
we're back to that again.
Yeah,
Adam, we're gonna need a ruling here.
We need a ruling.
Normally, so when we look at chick flicks, as you're saying, I'm very picky on them, but it's as complete movie whores I think all of us are here, we cross into the genres that
you have your comedic romantic comedy like weak spots.
Okay,
your blind spots that you
I mean anything that has Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan together is a win.
See, like I feel like most of the Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan, specifically the big three, you know, Sleepless in Seattle, Joe Versus Volcano, and You've Got Mail, kind of transcend the genre. Like those are
okay.
Those are just good movies.
So yeah,
specifically Sleepless in Seattle. And actually, you know what, Joe Versus
the Volcano.
That's really good too.
That's probably my favorite out of those three.
I don't feel comfortable.
I don't normally put Joe versus
I don't feel comfortable. What?
I don't normally put it in the chick flick genre.
I just don't feel comfortable lumping those three movies in with the rest of. I don't feel comfortable putting them in the same category as Fools.
There you go. Okay,
that's what I'm gonna go.
We'll move on. Anything with Andy Garcia's had a couple good chick flicks. What's the one where he's where she's? It's with Meg Ryan and she's drunk. She's an alcoholic. We need the fact finder. When a Man Loves a Woman.
Okay,
that's a good quality one. And then you got Al Pacino in Son of a Woman.
That's not a romantic comedy. There's nothing funny about that at all.
Drama. Okay, or romantic movie. I said chick flick. I didn't say romantic comedy.
I don't think Son of a Woman's a chick flick. That's definitely a dude flick. Okay. That's male bonding taken to its infinite degree.
Okay.
Hoo-ah.
You're going to have to speak up because we don't need long pauses.
Young Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I'm just curious as to what defines a chick flick here. Like, does the lead have to be a female?
And well, we have two contracting categories. No. We're kind of talking about chick flicks, and we're also specifically talking about romantic comedy.
Because if you want to go into romantic comedy,
because you can. If we're going to go chick flick, you have to lump in everything from
10 Things I Hate About You.
10 Things I Hate About You to like The Notebook. I think we should focus on bad. Like, what's that?
Why do you have to call them chick flicks, though? Can't you just call them bad movies? Like, why do you have to say
Notebook's a bad movie?
Because they're not all bad movies.
No, exactly. So, but chick flick is synonymous with bad movie. And chick flick is, just... So
you know why? Do you know why chick flick is synonymous with bad movie?
So that way you guys...
Because
you're not looking at the screen anyway.
Women and say that they like crap movies.
No, because most movies that are geared towards the subset, a very specific subset of women, usually quite bad.
There you go.
Sex in the City 2.
Before we get into a whole nother rant on this and a whole lose 10, 20 minutes of the podcast on this, we do have a forum post that we do every week with this. You can definitely give us your opinion. I think some good questions there. What qualifies for a chick flick, or how are we lumping chick flick and romantic comedy? And then why... why are they bad?
Give the chick flick / let's go stick romantic comedy. Give the romantic comedy that you know is not a great film, but is one of those. It's like that kind of guilty pleasure. Like, but if it's on, I'm going to watch it.
Right.
Obviously, yours is anything with Matthew McConaughey, which I think says more about way more about other things.
Okay, next, before we Adam? Get stuck on making fun of me.
Romantic comedy. I'm gonna have to think about that one. There aren't many. I'm sure they're out there. I just don't own any of them.
I think I there's a couple that every now and then will pop up, but I feel like if I had to just pick one off the top of my head, that's a weak spot. It would be. That one's not really a romantic comedy. I'll go with Mark Ruffalo and Reese Witherspoon in A Lot Like Heaven.
No,
that one's pretty awesome.
Aaron, are you going to chime in on this?
Well, You've Got Mail is the
romantic comedy.
See, that's but that's the Tom Hanks.
But it's a romantic comedy.
Okay, right. Okay. She's got a point. You've Got Mail. We're getting into the idea of.
I think You've Got Mail would come if you're going to rank them all like top to bottom. Comes in second to When Harry Met Sally.
Oh,
that's new.
Yes. Oh, that's sorry. Okay. Anyway, so Magic Mike, and that's going to be the big one probably this weekend, fighting with Ted. Ted might surprise. I think there's going to be a lot of people.
Well, and I think you underestimate, as many people many times have, how many people go see Tyler Perry.
We're just about to bring up the what I would have considered to be second tier in audience, but you make a good point. Is Tyler Perry's Madea's Witness Protection?
Are they Madea or are they Medea?
Medea. Yeah.
I think I've always heard of, I don't know.
We'll wait to see. And then People Like Us with Chris Pine and I can't remember the female lead in it. Looks terrible. And then we do get a wide release of Take This Waltz, which Tyler said he's already taken the waltz.
It's been on demand for a while now, and I watched it on Netflix. I watched it either Netflix or Amazon Video on Demand, but it is very good. It's a very well-made movie, but it sticks with you in a big way. And there is just some things in it. For those of you, who haven't followed it, haven't seen it, the leads are Seth Rogen and click on it now because
So we got Seth Rogen,
Brittany Murphy. Michelle Williams. Michelle Williams and Seth Rogen are the leads. Perry play a married couple, and it gets rough. And not like in that it's bad. It's just like it sticks with you for a while. Like they're married, and then she meets this guy, and things start going wrong, but through no fault of like it's not like Seth Rogen is a bad guy. He seems like a really as a movie like that goes on early on, you have to identify with someone, and someone like me, and I think most of you guys, you're going to identify with the Seth Rogen character, which then makes the rest of the movie just bone jarringly afterwards. Like it hangs with you. It's like it's up in that kind of category, like Blue Valentine. Not nearly as rough, like not nearly as just soul crushing, but It stuck with me for a while. And like, I had to like go find someone else who had, my friend Daniel's also seen it. And I had to go find someone else who had seen it just so I could talk to someone about it without.
So it's on Netflix.
At least it was. I don't know if it's come off on demand because it's getting a wide release, but It's been on demand for the last few weeks at least. And everyone should, I'm not going to tell anyone not to see it because it's very good, but it is, expect to be a little bit emotionally abused by it, I think, because.
I'll have to see if it's still on there and check it out. So. Well, moving on beyond theatrical releases, current theatrical releases. I know Tyler's getting pretty excited about something.
Trailer just came out. Takashi Miike, who, if you're not familiar with
Zebra Man.
If you don't know him, find out. Ask somebody.
Google it. It's instant streaming available. I'm pretty sure 13 Assassins is still instant streaming on Netflix.
And 13 Video. Assassins, It's and Just Amazon Killer Prime. Are, I think, more of his popular that people might.
That's the one that if you don't know who he is, he made 13 Assassins, if you've seen that. If you haven't, that's by far his biggest release. Go see it. It's...
He has some amazing scenes.
It has some of the most intense fight scenes. Like there's a scene towards the end with the alleyway that I think blows, to just put it into perspective, I think blows anything out of 300.
You're getting too excited for these things and not talking
about. Anyway, there is a very famous samurai flick made by Kobayashi back in the 60s called Harry Carey, Death of a Samurai. And Mika is remaking it. It's coming out in July, and the trailer just went up this last week. This week on when this goes live, it'll be last week. We'll put a link to it. But
yeah, we'll definitely link the trailer.
I'm a sucker for samurai movies. I mean, between Kurosawa, Kobayashi, and I've seen them all a million times, and this one looks, and it's a good story. Harakiri, Death of Samurai, it's a very poignant, and it's going to be good. I have high hopes for it.
So we'll link that trailer. I haven't watched it yet, so I'll watch it, of course, when I link it. But should be interesting. I'm a pretty big. I can do some samurai movies as well, and we can get into. We need to probably something we should talk about. Whole separate podcast on just certain topics in best directors of all time could be a whole podcast topic. And as you mentioned, Kurosawa would definitely come up more than once. So beyond that, there is we're not too far away from another release that everybody probably has heard of, The Amazing Spider-Man. Do have the video game out already, and coming out on they came out Tuesday the 26th, and then the movie Tuesday right before the holiday weekend. So they're taking advantage of the long holiday weekend. Amazing Spider-Man, first this young man Andrew Garfield, which is his name, right? Yeah, he helps develop Facebook, and then he goes and gets some spider powers. How about that?
Are we doing the video game? Do you know? Are we getting it? Or is anyone going to?
I don't. We haven't any word on the game. Nate, who is one of our longtime reviewers, co-founders of the site, is shown interest in getting the game. I don't know if he'll get over to it. But not studio provided, but he'll definitely, somebody might touch on it and give some notes.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. I've checked out on, for the most part, superhero video games, specifically superhero video games tied to movies, because they're almost always a giant disappointment. Mm. Any movie tied in video game almost always is a disappointment. And then the superhero ones I feel like are a special kind of terrible.
Most of them. Right. Yeah.
And then Spider-Man has been done wrong in video games, like the
even
only,
not the movie tie-ins,
not even not the movie tie-ins, right. Like the Shattered Dimensions ones. What I really wanted to like was
so much potential,
so much potential. It was very uneven.
It was
the last Spider-Man. I mean, last Spider-Man title, like Spider-Man. I was a big fan of the Ultimate Alliance games. Yeah. Those I think were both kind of fun, and you can be Spider-Man in those, and there's Spider-Man storylines in them. But the last Spider-Man game I remember playing and really, really enjoying was Maximum Carnage on the Super Nintendo, which was the side-scroller one,
right,
where you'd switch back and forth between Spider-Man and Venom, mm-hmm, and you're fighting Carnage, Hobgoblin, Doppelganger, all those characters, and I really enjoyed that. But Spider-Man, and most of us, Superman probably has had some of the worst games ever made.
Absolutely.
I think the only superhero that has ever been done justice in a video game, and it's only recently, is probably Batman. With the two Arkham games.
Yeah, Arkham Asylum and Arkham City, for sure.
Pretty solid releases.
And then Lego Batman, of course.
Yeah.
There you go.
But I am excited for the movie. I was hesitant at first.
Each trailer's gotten better and better.
Each trailer's definitely gotten better. And as a Spider-Man fan for, 20, 30 years, I mean, I love Spider-Man, and I'm a purist at heart, and I have all the comics, but I loved the first one. I loved the second one. As we've talked about before, hated the third one, but I was a little weary of them rebooting it already again. And a lot of that has to do with them just wanting to hold on to the license.
Oh, yes.
They don't keep making Spider-Man mm-hmm. branded franchises. They lose. It all reverts back to Marvel, and then Marvel can fold him in too. Because how cool would it be if they're fighting in New York City, and even if it's just a cameo, like Spider-Man swings in and knocks over some bad guys and swings out of the Avengers? Because I would have lost it. I would have lost my mind in the middle of the theater. But I was a little wary of it. But the more that I've seen from then I saw the cast list. I mean, you got Martin Sheen playing Uncle Ben. Mm-hmm. You've got Reese Evans playing Dr. Connors. You've got Sally Fields playing Aunt May.
Yeah.
Or I went with that one. Dennis Leary. I can't hold it together.
Pretty excited.
Right.
Yeah, Gwen Stacy's dad, the police officer. But and they've gone back to mechanical web shooters. There's a lot. Every trailer I see makes it look better and better. And I'm now actually gone from being wary and not real excited about it to really being pumped about it.
So I was on that boat to where I think after the disappointment with Spider-Man 3, the idea of rebooting the franchise so quick, I wasn't excited about it. And I saw the first trailer I saw was that with the first person trailer that they did.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just didn't impress me. No. But I've watched a few clips now, everything like that. It looks convincing. And I'm getting a little bit more excited for it. It's hard with what's right behind it as being a total Batman nut that I am, but pretty excited for it. Mm-hmm. And continuing on the excitement trail, especially the Tyler excitement trail, Newsroom premiered this past weekend.
Yeah. So as we're filmed last night, as we're talking about this a week ago, this probably goes live, but, for those of you who don't know, Newsroom is a new drama that premiered on HBO, and it's Aaron Sorkin created. And I'm a big Aaron Sorkin nut. I have all of Sports Night on DVD. I've got all of The West Wing on DVD. I love his shows. I even liked Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, which I know a lot of people disliked a lot.
No, we talked about that a little, and I was saying we had watched, I had stayed up with it, and it was kind of weird. They just ended it.
Yeah.
And never really closed the ties of the first season.
They didn't really close it all, but Sports Night kind of got shafted too. And the worst thing about Sports Night was it had a good season, barely got into a second season, made a really good guest season. William H. Macy was a guest star through most of the second season. Second season gets over, the show gets axed, like canceled, and then it goes on to that next year win like 5 Emmys.
Yes,
right.
After being canceled, which was just super upsetting. But I've always Aaron Sorkin has made 3 TV shows, and 3 of which I loved all 3 of them. I was a big West Wing fan. A lot of the same people in all those. He obviously, American President is amazing. A Few Good Men. And obviously The Social Network. If people who aren't familiar with those titles that are quite a bit older, obviously. I mean, he wrote the script for The Social Network, which was, if nothing else, he writes dialogue better than just about anyone out there.
I will say, if you're not familiar with A Few Good Men, you need to get a movie on your TV right now, because I think that's one of the better dramas of the 90s.
I'm a big proponent of The American President. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Michael Douglas. It's
a solid movie.
Annette Bening. And so much. And it's funny, if you were a fan of The West Wing at all, and you go back and watch The American President, having not seen it or having not seen it in a while, how much was in The American President that eventually became mm-hmm. The West Wing? Even Martin Sheen.
Right.
Just move titles. But so much of the sensibility of the characters of it. So
cool. So, well, check it out if you're interested.
I have a really bad review set. I have it on my DVR. I haven't had a chance to watch it. Okay, I'm excited about it.
Well, maybe we'll have a few more notes on it next week. We'll include the some clips at least for everybody to check out and see if it's something they'd be interested in. Moving away from big screen, small screen, whatever size screen you have. Well, I guess actually this does kind of relate to a screen. Is over at Kickstarter. So I first saw this on Engadget, and over at Kickstarter, they're putting up a new product called Ringbow. And what this is basically a ring you wear, and it has a directional pad on it, and it syncs with your, I'm pretty sure it's with your Bluetooth device. Mm-hmm. So therefore with your smartphone, your tablet, possibly even your PlayStation 3 then. And the idea is that you wear a ring, and if you were to just like rub your thumb over the side of your finger, that's how you would control the directional pad. So kind of a nice little concept, a kind of a controller to try to enhance this new sensation in smartphone or tablet gaming. Mm-hmm. What are you guys thinking?
Not sure what to think on that one. I haven't really picked up a game on a tablet or my phone that would make me wish I had a directional pad. So pretty cool idea. I don't know if there's a huge market for it. I'm sure that there would be.
Yeah. I mean, the capability to make really good tablet games is probably there. I just don't think anyone's spending the time and the money on it. Because number one, Can you go make a AAA title for the iPad and then convince someone to pay 20, 30, 40 bucks to pay for the development of it? And let's be honest, we all play games on our tablets and on our phones and stuff like that. But as much as there's games on my phone and my tablet that I enjoy, I don't think any of them, the ones that I play the most and enjoy the most, wouldn't benefit from, I don't think, a directional pad.
They're the mindless ones that just help you kill the time until I can get back to my video game systems at my house.
Yeah.
So, and according to the Kickstarter page, it is compatible with Android, most games on there. They're working on the iOS development, and says it supports any Bluetooth-enabled device. So I'm sure the biggest thing I would see me using this for is that time when I have the movie remote for the PlayStation 3, because that's what I have out most of the times, and I want to bounce over to the web browser or something like that real quick, and it's really hard to operate when not having the typical controller, having that out. But yeah, that's something I don't see if it being worth the money. Now, my wife, who's actually playing games on her phone right now, she might find this very valuable because only Angry Birds. Right. You could
the hardcore social gamer.
And people who are out there making games for cell phones, for tablets, would have to completely almost change the way they're doing things because. Right. I mean, so every game is designed specifically for touchpad controls, and I don't know how well a D-pad or, you know, translates to that.
Well, that's the thing. This could end up, as much as right now we're kind of saying, this could be the game changer. This could be the something that takes it to the next level. I don't know. Either way, at this point in time, it's
pretty looking.
It's halfway there to its goal for the funding, and it's still got about a month to go. So I think the funding's going to hit. They're probably going to hit the market. Pretty interesting. Yeah, pretty interesting idea. Like you said, they're great looking. We'll include a link so everybody can check them out. But not sure if it's something.
How much do I have to give to get a free one when it comes
to get
out?
A free one?
I think it's 50.
Is it 55 or more?
Rainbow color pick. All right, how much is that?
So, yeah, $55, and you can pick.
Go back up, the rainbow. Rainbow.
Yeah, the $55. Okay. Because $45 gives you a special price, but you only get to pick that. You only get the grayscale one. Yeah, because then $100 multiplayer pack they give you too. So, I mean, about $50. If you got the money, I guess it would be cool.
I have to stay away from Kickstarter because I just
there you
give money to just about
everything left right. And right. So, so last thing on the hot topics that we really wanted to cover, something we kind of took to heart this weekend. We saw a link to the comic book shop. It's up in Delaware and. Superheroes for Sam, which little Superman Sam, as they're calling him, a young 6-year-old boy who's has leukemia. We're going to include the link on the forums. The biggest thing they're asking for right now, and we're going to ask you to do, is they just want pictures of you in your favorite superhero shirt to kind of show support team. The idea is to just get all these pictures of all these people in superhero shirts and to just keep sending them to them. And so they said that they closed it at Sunday. They wanted to have them out there. I talked to the lady with comic book shop through some email exchanges. And she said, she's going to just, as long as pictures keep coming, she's going to keep sending them over. So you don't even have to print it. You don't have to anything. You can take it with your digital camera, your phone, email it over to let me pull it up here. Email it over to comicshop@thecomicbookshop.com. Throw in a little note. They'll print it out and send it over for you. But if you head over to the link we're going to provide on the forum post for this podcast, it will have the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin address for you to be able to send anything there. So if you did want to send anything additional like comics or anything like that, make sure they're age appropriate. So you can definitely show your support for them. But huge that they have a photo up there, all the, you know, the dads in the Superman shirt and everything
too. All the kids. Yeah. I mean, it's a great story, and you guys know you have pictures of you wearing your favorite comic book shirt already. You probably don't even have to do anything for this except attach it to an email, and really just an excellent chance to help out a 6-year-old who, just to show, you know, the solidarity and the support, give them, you know, let them know that we're out here thinking about them.
There you go. Awesome. So keep that in mind. If you got anything else to add with that, definitely comment in the forum post or in the forum thread for this. And we'll definitely take your ideas and maybe we can even get something else rolling for them. Mm-hmm. But moving on, we're going to head on out here with a few notes on, I guess, the release calendar and some of what's going on with the projects. But pretty weak schedule in terms of games and Blu-ray release for the third here. Obvious holiday week. Everybody's spending money on fireworks. They only got it. But a couple of huge catalog titles. Barbarella and Born on the 4th of July in the 100th anniversary pack from Universal. So a couple of big titles. You guys going to get them?
I will definitely pick up Barbarella. I'll probably get them both.
Born on the 4th of July.
Born on the 4th of July is such a good movie. I haven't seen it in
years. It's
going
to be sub $10 already. Really? It's already been rumored that I believe Walmart and Best Buy will both be carrying it for sub $10. Barbarella has already been on Amazon for below $15, so not going to be that expensive either.
Right. I'm going to tell you, if you're looking pick for a good deal, though, I mean, obviously not new releases, but I do know that starting tomorrow, it's been on pre-order for Amazon for a while, and I know that Best Buy and some other retailers are going to have it. They're releasing a Christopher Nolan Blu-ray pack. Now, first of all, I feel like it's pretty terrible if you don't already own all the movies.
That's but
it's
true. Come it, with it, the, it has right, no value.
It's going to come with the... To me, it's not going to have a lot of value other than just it's such a good deal.
You're if you don't own them.
The already. First two Batmans, Inception, Memento, and Insomnia for $30.
Yeah.
I would pay $30 for any two of those movies and $30 to get all five. The only Nolan-directed film it won't have is The Prestige, which was a different studio. So
yeah, it's a pretty good set. And it currently is coming with a... full movie ticket,
yeah,
like full cost of your movie ticket. So pretty good deal there as well. And speaking of a little Batman and some movie tickets, we have a little contest going on right now.
I'm really disappointed in the lack of people, and by lack I mean zero people.
That's true. Embarrassingly enough, through week one, or not even week one, really through the first weekend by the time we recorded this, nobody has told us what their favorite, well, we said we kind of kept it open-ended comic book movie, But we were kind of targeting specifically superheroes on the big screen. We're going to give away Batman Begins Blu-ray Steelbook, Dark Knight Blu-ray Steelbook. Both have movie money to go see The Dark Knight Rises in theaters. Both sealed. Both come with ultraviolet digital copies. I mean, we are giving you a Batman... I lost it there.
There
it's
you
a
go.
Bonanza.
Let's just say I'm looking
it's a bonanza.
There you go.
I'm looking at them both right now. They look fantastic. Like he said, they are steelbooks. You can hear that. That's the metal. I don't know why you're not entering in this. I mean, at this rate, your chances of winning are 1-1.
They're pretty good, right?
So all you have to do is, and we have this set up for Facebook Connect, so you don't even have to create a new account. Bounce over to the forums, into the Nerdcast area. There's a thread for it already. Tell us what your favorite superhero movie is. We kind of covered it in a short clip.
Wait. You gotta do more than tell us what it is. We need you to eloquently defend and champion your favorite comic movie.
Especially if it's something like Elektra or...
I want to see someone just write... The most passionate, like stirring account of why Daredevil is their favorite superhero movie of all time. Or, I mean, I want to see it. Or Catwoman. I want to see someone win me over to the side of the Catwoman.
So we might give some preference, is what he's saying. We might give some preference if you pick a terrible movie.
Don't pick Catwoman.
And a valid argument. No, that's true. Catwoman will automatically, the post will be deleted. You'll be banned from the forums. No,
because I can see, I mean, obviously we have our favorites. We've talked about it in the clip and we'll talk about it again. But I mean, obviously. We all have maybe our one or two, but I picking it out to one is hard, but I could see myself being convinced of 5 to 10 different comic book movies that it's the best one ever.
Oh, it's really hard to decide, and we're short on time, so we'll just list them real quick. If you want to know more details, we will have a lengthier clip kind of explaining it, but we did go around the table and decide. And I believe, Adam, you had...
Superman 2.
And Tyler, you had...
Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man 2. And I went away from the traditional superhero and went with V for Vendetta, as the Alan Moore works are. And Erin's sitting up. She wants to throw in her vote here. Favorite superhero movie?
Best comic book movie.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what I wanted to have clarification of. It's not superhero.
No, it can be comic book. Because we talked about, Scott Pilgrim and...
V for Vendetta over there. So two V for Vendetta votes in this house. That's why we get along very well.
There's some good ones. I'd like to see someone champ. I mean, I it was hard for me because Superman 2 is obviously that and Spider-Man 2.
I could watch Rattling.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Yeah. I want to see someone champion like Ghost World. I think that's an excellent film.
I mean, you got plenty out there. So definitely head over there. Give us your opinion. We want to hear. There you go. Some more Alan Moore. But real quick, we want to update you on what's going on the projects, Project Blue, Project Nerd. We do have some great content going up here shortly on Project Blue. This past couple weeks, some big new releases coming out, but we also were able to finally hit that Lollipop Chainsaw review. So that went up.
It's a good one, too.
Yeah, Nick found it favorable. Prometheus is out, so we got the Alien movies going up. We've covered Batman Begins recently to make sure we got your Batman coverage taken care of. Check us out, projectblue.com. It's project-blu.com. And, of course, you probably know that if you're listening, but just in case. And over Project Nerd, some references that we made here in this podcast that we didn't talk about. I'm going to post a little extra videos that we didn't really hit on. Like we had a very funny music video of Hardcore Social Gamer we posted a couple weeks back and talking about the joystick. We'll need to post some links. So make sure you guys are keeping up with the blog.
Do you ever, the Geek and Sundry recently did one of a song with, what are two guys' names? They did a song. Cause we talked about it before called, George Martin.
No, the,
George R. Martin. Right
George. Wind. George. There. Right George. Right Like the Wind. Yeah, yeah. That's that is live at point of this podcast. All so right. Yes, definitely. So it's pretty excited. But one of the biggest exciting news that we're going to break right here is Adam J over at Superhero Photography at superherophotography.co.uk. We plugged their Wonder Woman fan film last week. All of us super excited about it. Great work. We're partnering with him. He's going to be at New York City Comic Con since none of our reps are going to be out there. Yeah, we've got a pretty good deal worked out with him. So check us out after New York City Comic Con. We're going to have some exclusive photos from Adam J of Superhero Photography popping up on Project Nerd. Eventually you'll see him everywhere else because we don't lock our products. But first, the first chance to see him right over here at us. And definitely head over to superherophotography.co.uk. Show your support for the Wonder Woman fan film. Buy the beautiful Wonder Woman prints. They got them poster size right now, 24 by 36. You guys were talking about when we kind of rolled in here, how we redecorated the place, kind of geeked it out. Get those prints up on the wall. That's when it's really going to make a turn. So
really tie the room together.
There you go. So big things to do this week. Contest, get over there, sign up. Pretty easy. We're talking
somebody
about
win some free Blu-rays.
There you go.
Please win.
I've free got too Blu-rays. Many copies.
Be honest,
of these.
Let's be honest. If someone doesn't enter this contest fairly soon, I am taking the movie money and just going to see the movie.
There you go. Well, I've got too many.
And
copies
even if you don't win, you didn't even mention. Even if you don't win, we're throwing all the names. Everyone who enters, you're going into a hat. You're going to win a $10.
That's
someone's
right.
Going to win a $10 Amazon gift card.
Someone's going to win a $10 gift card just for entering. So.
I don't understand why you haven't done that already.
There you go.
I'm confused.
So that, some great photos coming up. I do our coverage of Legoland. We just visited Legoland this past weekend. We got some awesome photo gallery that's up right now at Project Nerd. Like I said, some big releases. So pretty exciting stuff going on across the projects and even more exciting things around the corner. We'll keep it hush-hush, but we'll let you fill you in there. So this weekend, it sounds like, I know Adams seems like he's been the only one in theaters recently, Prometheus, Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. Sounds like this weekend, though, we got a well mix. So Ted, is that what it sounds like?
Yeah, I'm definitely sure. Ted. Yeah, I'll see. I can't even talk to you about that.
So, well, either way, sounds like next week we'll have some more theatrical discussion there. But we're going to go ahead and sign out for Aaron on the Couch, Adam and Tyler. This is Iggy signing out on Project Nerd. Catch you next week.